It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can the Bears put the back-to-back losses in the rearview mirror, or will there be a hangover effect this Sunday against the Patriots?
I don't think the hangover is going to be as bad as the hangover was in the Arizona game from the previous week. But I think there's going to be like that that day two or day three. Like, you're over the stupids like you get when you get really drunk one night, and then the next day you're dumb and you're useless and you have a headache and you're hurting and you're taking whatever you need to make yourself feel better. I'm making this very personal right now. I mean, all of that. But I think that this could be like day three where you're starting to come out of it and you're like, oh God, I do feel good again. Mm-hmm. I think I will be able to party again someday. So, but I do think that there will still be a bit of a hangover, as in, Bears are not blowing anybody out. Even as bad as New England is, and you mentioned that in the first segment, Ruthie, as bad as they are, the Bears are kind of like, they are injured right now, and we'll get to some of that later on. They're walking on eggshells. Whether they say it or not, they are feeling some pressure. They know what's coming. They know what's coming after this New England game. It is the gauntlet of the division. You know, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit coming up. And just for the heck of it, then at San Francisco, and then more Minnesota and more Detroit. So when you feel like, when you know you have to win, I think you feel that pressure. The thing that they have going for them is they do play really well at home. The Bears have been really good under Matt Eberflus playing at Soldier Field. So I think that that's going to be a big deal. And the other part really quickly, too, is let's not forget, it happened this year. The Bears did have a three-game winning streak, and they beat bad teams and bad defenses. The Rams, Carolina, and Jacksonville look good doing it. So I think they will get over it. I think that they will win the game, but I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Well, let's rewind to October the 7th, I believe, the last time the Bears were at Soldier Field, and the Bears ended up scoring 27 points in the first half. And I think that's going to be the key. Mark, you talked about what you got to do the next day, trying to fight off that hangover. What the Bears need to do is they need to actually score in the first quarter.
Oh, man.
And how about score three times in the first half? Mm. It doesn't all have to be in the first quarter. And here's another idea. If you win the toss, I know there's numbers and metrics and analytics and all that stuff has a place in sports. But every once in a while, I think you just got to do what the smart thing is. If you win the coin toss on Sunday and you're at home, take the damn ball, show the 15 plays that you got, you know, down pat, and go down the field and try to score. Because if there's another three and out, I think all of a sudden the Excedrin isn't working exactly the way we had hoped. The caffeine isn't working. The grease isn't working. You don't want to give the Patriots the ball and have Drake May dinking and dunking and running a little bit, because the Bears' run defense, we're going to talk about that in a minute, is not great right now. It might be worse without Big Billings out for a while. We're going to talk about that. So win the toss and take the ball and score some points and feel a whole lot better.
Here's the other thing, really quickly, Ruthie. If the Bears get the ball and they go three and out at Soldier Field. Hello, Boo Birds.
Yeah, that's
we saw it with Mitch Trubisky. We saw it with Justin Fields, and I cringe, but it will happen.
Really quick, sorry. If that does happen, is there a way, Mark, you'll be at the game on Sunday, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'll be
there. Can you, like, stick your microphone and catch some of that sound?
You want some of that Nat sound for the show?
Do you have Les's Marantz? Can you run out there and throw the mic out to the...
Apparently they saw. I told those guys never to sell that thing, but they did. Guess who else will be there on Sunday? David Haw.
Ooh.
So I'll have him do. He's a big...
I needed a break from him. Anyway.
Yeah, I bet you do.
All I do is see David Haw all the time.
Apparently he and I, though, I won't reveal where, because I know Haw. Like, I'm not that private of a person. Like, I like to put stuff out. Haw and I apparently be living in the same neighborhood.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Can the Bears put back-to-back losses in the rearview mirror? They need to. They have to. They have to. That's my answer. I'm with you, Dustin. You got to score early and score first, because guess what? Everything's easier when you play with the lead. everything. You can run the ball. You can stick with the run. And that just, that's what this team needs to do right now, because things are not going well for the quarterback, not going well for the offensive line. You need to be able to put points on the board and do it in a way that helps your young quarterback, because they're not doing that. And also helps your defense, because they're banged up and you don't want to have to make them keep getting back on the field and having to play for long periods of time. If they don't put these back-to-back losses in the rearview mirror,
is it over?
It's God bless. Ooh. It's gonna be a tough go for everyone, because then Green Bay comes to town. You ready for that? Got to put this behind them.
I am not.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He's with you guys at 7 a.m. Biggs time. Do you consider Wednesday's Bears injury report good or bad news?
Bad news. So very bad. Probably the worst part of it all is Andrew Billings. Very concerned about his health in general and all of the things that are surrounding the Jaquan Brisker situation. Very concerning. He's been out with the concussion that he suffered on October 6th. And then you look at the offensive line, Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, DNPs on Wednesday. I mean, it's tough. It's not, I mean, you look at that injury, that's a long list.
Yeah.
Montez Sweat limited. I guess that's the one positive, is that that's an upgrade. Other than that, the injury report is bad news.
I think that was seven bads, Ruthie. I'm not gonna completely disagree, but I'm gonna bring it down to maybe five.
Okay.
I'm not quite as bad. Here's the Bears offensive line was a disaster, an absolute disaster in Arizona. And you're out there. I feel like there's like mixed reports. Did the tackles not play at all? Were they limited? Flusi said he thinks they're both trending in the right direction. Ryan Bates, Tevin Jenkins, full participants. If those two guys are your two guards, all of a sudden you could, you got something going. Like, so that's my big positive,
okay,
right? Montez Sweat, you clearly need that guy, okay? They got two blues or two fives on defense. He's one of them. He was missed in Arizona. He's going to play against the Patriots. Kyler Gordon, they've missed him a ton. He was a limited participant. That's good news. He was limited last week, too.
Yeah.
Didn't end up, but I think he's trending in the right direction. It's bad they don't have Billings, but let's be honest, even when he was in there the last couple of weeks, the Bears' run defense has not been good. So you get another big, fat guy, and you try your hardest to keep the guards off Tremaine Edmonds, who all of a sudden, I mean, you want to talk about the guy that needs to look in the mirror? What is Tremaine Edmonds doing? All he does is catch linemen for a living. He can't get off a block to save his life.
Oh,
he was awful.
If he can't get off a block, does this mean he's turning into Brian Urlacher?
I did.
Urlacher?
We could go down that road.
No, I don't want to go down that
road. Corey Schlesinger still, you know, how Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears.
Yeah.
Corey Schlesinger owns Brian Urlacher.
Ooh. Oh, wow. You really do want to go. Oh, yeah. You're the guy who didn't think that Brian Urlacher should be
That article in the Sporting News was started by me.
I know it was.
I jumped on a table for that one.
What was it, like, most overrated players?
Most overrated player in the NFL. Again, that doesn't mean you're bad.
Okay.
He was, at that point in time, he was the most overrated player in the NFL.
This guy's got problems, man. Brian Urlacher was great from the beginning of his career. Once they figured out where he needed to be as a linebacker, the man was great. But that's obviously something for another day. I will give this injury report, how about, since you guys are giving numbers, I'll give it three bads and two bears. How about that? So it's a collective five right there. No, it's all bad, because we've been talking about it for a lot of this morning already. The Bears have to win this game. If they don't win this game, we're in no man's land. It's off the cliff. I don't have an answer. If they fall under 500 heading into the gauntlet, it's a big issue. So when we're talking about, after giving up 213 yards rushing against Atlanta, against Arizona, and your starting tackles did not practice yesterday. And Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, you mentioned Andrew Billings. I mean, he is, I don't know if they've made it official yet, but he is definitely going on injured reserve. It's a pec injury. Pec injuries are bad.
He's having surgery.
I don't see him stepping on the field again this year. Jaquan Brisker, that is an interesting situation. I did not talk to him yesterday out at Halsall. Didn't happen to see him in the locker room, but I did talk to him the week before. He was, you know, all smiles and stuff, like in a good mood and all that kind of stuff. But I was like kind of trying to get a feel for when he might be back, and I did bring up the idea of you've got all these hard games coming up, maybe be healthy for that, and he kind of agreed with it, and I was kind of guiding him, so he didn't say this, but he agreed, yeah, man, I want to be healthy for all of those big games, but I don't even know. I mean, there's some mystery surrounding Jaquan Brisker. He will, by the way, he will not play on Sunday. We already know that. While we're talking about the secondary and Kyler Gordon being hurt, while we're at it, Jalen Jones didn't practice yesterday, and he's been a valuable backup for you as well. So it's not a good thing to be going into another must-win week with all of these guys injured. So as a matter of fact, throughout all of my talking, I have upped it to 4 bads and 1 bear. Okay. So that's where we're at. That's where we're going to keep it.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
All right, that's our guy, DJ Moore. He's here at 8 o'clock after every Bears game the next morning, always. Even London, he was here right away. Are we moving on from the DJ Moore taking himself out of the game? Are you buying that the ankle was hurting him? Let's listen to this cut.
Tweaked ankle. I was coming back to, because I seen Caleb scrambling, and my ankle went in and out. I was already, couldn't stop, so my momentum took me out of bounds, and then I just walked off, which... The noise, I hear it, seeing it, really didn't care. So it is what it is.
Is what it is? Are you buying what you heard there from DJ Moore?
We're moving on for sure. At least I am. This reporter is moving on from it, but it's noted. It all goes in the book. It all goes on the resume. It is noted, and I hope that it doesn't have to be referenced later on because we've already had this one time. I mean, it was almost similar to earlier this year when we were all questioning the body language of DJ Moore. And then Moore got up there at the podium with sort of the same, you guys got to be kidding me, demeanor. I was out there yesterday, so I was looking at the facial expressions. I mean, he's kind of the same always. He wasn't mad up there. He was incredulous. Like, come on, guys, really? Are we really doing this again? So I think it has to be noted because he is still, he's your best wide receiver still. I know Roma Dunze's had a couple of 100-yard games, but he is still, like, if you are going to win this year, it has to be in part because DJ Moore is your best receiver and is getting the best numbers on the field. Right now, he is not. So it is fair. It is fair to look into, read into everything that is going on with DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. And more of it, I think, is just the on-field chemistry that is lacking between the two. But you have now had two separate, I don't know if incidents is the right way to put it. You've had two separate scenarios where we have questioned DJ Moore and, you know, it really comes down to desire. And he is one of the hardest working dudes out there. The guy gets paid, and it sounds like he wants to still win more than just about anybody on that team, so I give him the thumbs up from that. But I'm moving on from it, but it is definitely noted.
Noted for sure. And let's go back to our first question. How about get DJ Moore involved early and often? That would also put this thing on the back burner, right? Would also put this thing to bed. Now, the video, the screenshot made it look not so great to the point that I was receiving texts with the still image of him standing out of bounds. And I then went to the DVR because I was with Mully and Olin and Patrick for the pre and post game show.
Name dropper.
Yep. So I did not get to rewind plays like I normally would at home, but I went back and he's limping. Unless he's a great actor, unless he's like a European football player, soccer guy, you know, they fake injuries all the time. I don't think he's faking the injury. I think something was up. And then he said he came back in the next play, and I think, you were there, did he refer to it as a reindeer?
Yeah.
He ran a reindeer route, so he just ran, he basically like almost like a decoy. He just ran straight ahead and tried to stretch the field a little bit. I think he used the term, reindeer. I ran a reindeer
route. I still don't get it. Why reindeer? Can you guys explain that? I just think of Santa Claus and whatnot.
Couldn't follow that.
Yeah.
Which one was he? Rudolph? Dasher?
I'm kind of a prancer guy. You know that about
prancer.
Me.
Yeah, you're a prancer.
You seem like a Blitzen guy. Blitzen! Blitzen! Donner?
I am not ready to move on from this. I think that it's information gathering. Do I believe that DJ Moore hurt his ankle? Sure. Do I like that he ran off the field and went and sat on the bench and didn't see how the play finished? No. Like, you gotta, whether your ankle hurts, you could go sit down after the play ends, but don't you want to see if if the play works, your quarterback's running around scrambling for his life? I think something's up. And I don't want to speculate, and I believe DJ Moore that his ankle wasn't feeling right, but this isn't the first time this season that we've seen visible frustration and bad body language from DJ Moore. So I'm taking it in as information, and I will be keeping an eye on DJ Moore maybe even more closely than I would initially, because I don't think he's thrilled with what's happening right now, understandably.
Yeah.
You know, wide receiver one, like, he wants to be catching the ball. But there's something there, and I'm not ready to move on yet.
We're going to get more into this, but I think, like, my thesis statement is for what's going on right now with a lot of Caleb Williams, and especially the veteran players, is that there is this fight, this conflict between quarterback development and winning games. It's a tough thing, and I know they're pulling it off in Washington with Jaden Daniels developing and winning, but it's still a tough trick. Caleb Williams is learning something new and seeing something different every single week of his life, no matter how talented he is. And then you've got guys like Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet who know exactly where they're supposed to be and exactly how they're supposed to do it, and they're all trying to adjust along with Caleb Williams. But we'll get to more of that a little bit later on.
Yeah, it's a good question.
That's the voice of Brian Baldinger. How do you see the O-line set up this Sunday?
Well, that's interesting.
Brandon Fryer, Dustin Rhodes, yeah. Ruthie Polinsky at center.
I think I'm more, and correct me if I'm wrong, Grody, because you were there yesterday, but I think I'm more optimistic than for Darnell Wright to play than I am for Braxton Jones, right?
I think so. Yeah, I can't remember. One of them he was more positive about. For some reason, I thought it was Braxton Jones, but you might be right.
Okay. Let's just say that Darnell Wright's still your right tackle. Right guard? I mean, does Ryan Bates come back this week? Very interesting to see kind of where he fits in. Maybe he's your right guard? Stay at center.
If this would
keep
be,
Shelton at center.
Yeah. Oh yeah. See, that's been the one rock. I mean, the irony.
You don't want to mess with that because
no.
Bates was kind of your front runner in training camp
sure
to be
was.
Your center.
Yep.
So I think you keep Shelton there, right? That's a chemistry.
Yeah.
That's thing.
He's not moving. Bates has been working on. I can tell you that he's been working on a guard.
I think Tevin Jenkins at least starts the game. Whether he finishes it, we'll see. Starts the game, and then at left tackle, you have, if Braxton's not there, then you have Borum and or Pryor. It's a musical chairs.
Yeah, no, it really is.
And do I see that being successful? That's another question. Just run the ball. Just run the ball. Run the ball.
Run the ball.
Run the damn ball.
That's it.
Didn't Doug Kramer have a hat that said that?
Yeah.
Run the damn ball or run the ball.
Don't give him the ball. Don't
Doug Kramer sends shivers down my spine right. Still. It's too soon.
Nobody wants to hear the name.
Hashtag Doug too soon.
Yeah. Hashtag mini fridge. David Haw unplugged the mini fridge.
What?
So if Ryan Bates is ready.
Check me out.
I want to see Ryan Bates. I want to see if the general manager is finally going to get an offensive lineman via free agency correct. Okay, because he hasn't been so good. The failed offensive lineman has not been a very good evaluator of offensive line talent, at least in free agency. So I'm thinking Darnell Wright's not going to be able to go this week. So I think Matt Pryor is going to move from right guard to right tackle, and that Ryan Bates will move in to the guard spot that Pryor is vacating. Obviously, Shelton will continue to play your center. Tevin Jenkins at left, Braxton Jones back. So I just think we're going to have a little shuffle on the right-hand side.
All right, let me see. Let's see what we have left here. I am under the belief, or maybe this is just the hope. Let's just say one of those tackles has to be back. I don't like the idea. Maybe you'll have to put Matt Pryor at tackle, but he's a guy that was a tackle in his football life, and I think it was with Tennessee. It's a team that the Bears played this year. I don't remember. But Pryor started as a tackle in his career, didn't work out. They have moved him inside, so he has kind of had his like offensive line career resurrected, so I'm nervous about that. The Braxton Jones or Darnell Wright's going to play. I do think Tevin Jenkins will be in there. As far as the Bates situation goes, I think it's possible. I'm hemming and hawing here on Bates because I talked to him by his locker last week and basically was trying to get a feel for him. Is there any chance that he'd be able to play in the game against Arizona? And I came away with it with a big old, he didn't say it, but I can infer pretty well as a reporter, a big old no way. There's no way I'm ready. So if he was that much of a no last week, how much would he be able to give you this week? There's always Nate Davis. Nate Davis, still on the Bears roster, still practicing with the Bears, still in the locker room yesterday. So that's a possibility as well. You also have Jake Curhan, who is on the roster, who we saw some of this week. So we'll see. And I realize I'm just naming names right now because it's really difficult to do this when we don't know who is going to be healthy. And that's just a fact right now about the Bears offensive line.
And Karan Amagaji is still hurt.
Karan Amagaji, he's got a calf injury. There's another guy. I don't know if he's going to be back this year.
Feels like a miss.
You mean like on the overall, like drafting? I'm not ready to go there yet.
Okay.
Because he had his training camp deleted this year. And when that happens to players and they just, especially offensive linemen, it's going to be a bad rookie year. You're not going to catch up in the 1 year.
But to take an offensive lineman where he was taken, you want him to contribute.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so,
no.
So that's all I'm saying.
Oh, he has to be a contributor. And I will say that Ryan Poles, when he was drafted, pretty much indicated that he was not going to be a starter this year or even a heavy-duty contributor because he did come pre-injured, that it would be next year for Amagaji. So I'm not ready. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not ready to give up on Amagaji yet.
Ooh, that's a great question.
We know that voice. Kyle Hendricks, the last member of the 2016 Cubs, is officially gone. 1 year deal with the Angels, $2.5 million to him. How will you best remember the professor?
Well, I was lucky enough to cover 3 years of his career, home and road, in the Cubs radio booth, 15, 16, and 17. So I personally, this is personal now, Ruthie, I will remember him as being just a great, awesome dude, a terrific teammate in the locker room, affable, accessible, all of that stuff. But I know we're really talking on the field. And I mean, for me, it's how can you not go to the clincher at Wrigley Field when the Cubs advanced on to the World Series. He was just lights out that night and just a clutch performer. And I think a big thing about Kyle Hendricks too is I was scared to death watching him pitch because I was like, how is this guy doing this? And when is it going to break down? When is this magic going to stop? Because the guy does not throw 90 miles per hour. And I was always like, oh, man. And he proved me wrong. Like whenever he fell into a struggle, I was like, okay, this is the end. They've caught up with him. It's over. He's not going to outsmart them this time. And then he always does. I'll say one more thing. There were some spirited opinions out at Hallis Hall yesterday in the media room. People talking about Kyle Hendricks saying that he ought hang it up, that he shouldn't even be playing anymore. Emma, Larry Mayer, the Crone Dog, Courtney Cronin, myself. Wow. It was like there's some baseball people that sit out there. And a lot of people, even Emma, I was very disappointed with him. Emma's like, he's cooked. He's done. He shouldn't even be playing anymore.
So, Mark, you picked a great one. But, you know, I think people forget, unless you go to the box score, he was your Game 7 pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
He took the ball, allowed one run. I think people remember John Lester coming in, right?
He was taken out so early in relief, right?
Yes, I mean, I think people remember Lester coming in and then remember that, you know, the guy who couldn't be touched was touched and the game's tied and all of that jazz. That was an unbelievable moment. But how the Cubs knew he was done. He knew he was done here. And the fact that, like, Tommy Hotovy came and took him out, that whole thing instead of Craig Counsell for the final time at Wrigley Field against the Reds this year. Really cool moment, and I'll always hold him in high regard.
As you guys know, I'm new to the Chicago area and the Chicago Cubs. I grew up in St. Louis, so we all know what that means.
You should just pass.
But No, I'm just going to say this because I really have enjoyed covering the Cubs, even though it's been, you know, less than thrilling the last two seasons. But I would say that's a guy that was just a consummate pro. I mean, and just a lovely person to be around, and just so much respect for his career and what he's doing. And you do almost want him to just hang it up here, right? Mm. Like, that is kind of...
If
he feels like he's got more in the tank, like, you have every right in the world to go try it out.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's just making sure that he doesn't have something left in the tank. He was terrible last year. There's no doubt about it. But I have... For so many times, I thought it was over for him, and then he just completely proved me wrong, so I can't do it. Did you enjoy 2015, by the way? Do you remember when the Cubs eliminated the Cardinals and stuff like that?
I do.
That was awesome.
How many World Series do you guys have? Okay, just checking.
We're not doing Cardinals v. Cubs.
I'm just kidding. I'm a Chicago girly now.
Who's got better
pizza? Oh, definitely Chicago. Not even a question.
Emos, yeah, little emos. Is that what it's called?
Emos, yeah.
Emos, not little emos. It's emos.
Emos, yeah. Let's ask Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, and Nelly.
Here's another question.
Wow, we know that voice as well. What about the Bulls? They did not have Zach LaVine last night in the loss to the Mavs. Will they tonight versus the T-Wolves? And if Zach's even on the court, will it matter, win or lose?
The Bulls are confusing when they have everybody healthy because, like, just listening to the coverage and reading the coverage, this year is just not about winning. It really isn't. Of course, they would accept it if they did, but they're in the midst of this confusing, painful rebuild, whatever you want to call it. So, hey, great if Zach is back. You got to up his trade value. If Zach has a great year, that's cool. All of that stuff. But I kind of, as horrid as the Bulls were last night, I did enjoy watching Modest Bouzelis look confident and feel a little bit of ownership out there and aggressive. And you know, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals. Just for the heck of it, he threw in a block as well. And the team did not shoot well, and they were predictable. And there was no, Bouzelis was the only redeeming part of that entire game. But I kind of would rather see the development Bulls at this point. So I don't care if Zach LaVine plays or not.
I don't care if Max LaVine plays either. But what I'm disappointed in, Josh Giddey, 5 turnovers last night. That's too much. He's supposed to be better with the ball. Ayo Dosunmu, 2 for 10? 2 for 10 from three-point distance? Come on, Ayo. You're better than that. The spread tonight, per our guys over at Circus Sports Illinois, T-Wolves -8. It might as well be 12. I mean, I don't think it matters if Zach's there or not. The total, 228.5. I mean, I think the T-Wolves might score 135 tonight. So, I mean, it's just bad. It's bad. And good for Bouzelis. I thought he was already out in wherever the Windy City Bulls play. I thought he was getting ready because I think the Windy City Bulls start this weekend. I thought he was getting ready to don that jersey.
Oh, you think he's going to do? Maybe he'll play for both teams.
Well, they had already assigned him. Well, that's a good thing about it being in your town is that you can quickly get the player back and forth. You put him on Air Reinsdorf and get him to wherever he needs to be.
By the way, whenever I hear Modest Bouzelis said, I always hear Madame Bouzelis for some reason. I don't. It's the weirdest thing.
Madame.
Yeah. Oh, Madame Bouzelis.
I think Zach, I mean, he's on the trip, right? That to me is the only positive sign that he's trending in the right direction. Again, I hear you on whether or not it matters. It's not really the point of the season, but I mean, he's a great player and he can still play and he's going to produce and he's going to score and he's going to create opportunities for other people. And I think he, in a lot of ways, sometimes, not all the time, but he can elevate the play of the people around him. So I think that's why maybe if you're even still from the developmental aspect of you want this young team to grow, having him on the floor, I think, elevates people around him. But if they win or lose, I hear you. I mean, best wishes.
Amen.